Good morning. Today is Tuesday, January the 18th. Joining us this morning, the guy that's in charge of Humboldt County Parks. Wait, no, let me see if I can get it right. Roads, bridges, levees. Okay.
Buildings.
Oh, really? Darn.
Natural resources.
Well, that everybody claims they're in charge of natural resources.
Mother Nature's in charge of natural resources.
Yeah, yeah. You like have, well, wait, they're all in the county parks.
No, we deal with 9 or 7 different counties and funding for water and wastewater and all kinds of things.
All right, a guy who thinks he's really busy, Tom Madsen.
No, I'm never busy. That's why I'm here.
That's why you have staff, right?
Exactly.
And when you go somewhere, you go slow.
And watch the road.
Yeah. Are you ready for our Why Do We Say It?
Is this the one where it's called Make Me Look Stupid?
Okay. Okay, I'm going to even give you a choice. Read between the lines or pull one's leg?
Read between the lines.
All right, go. Why do we say it?
Because I've been married for 30 plus years.
And you've been told how to read?
And I'm still married.
Yeah. All right. Simple methods of writing in code were devised long ago. Both Julius Caesar and Charlemagne sent battle reports in cipher. But the rise of cryptology as a science dates back to the 16th century. Rulers, diplomats, military leaders, and business executives adopted the practice of writing in code. Some personal papers of England's Charles I were so obscure that they were not deciphered until about 1850. Kind of says a couple things there, but we'll move on. To a person ignorant of the code, a secret paper was meaningless. Ordinary folk, fascinated by the mystery, concluded that the meaning was not in the lines of gibberish, but in the space between them.
Exactly.
All right. Writing between the lines with invisible ink strengthened this notion. Except among intelligence agencies, interest in secret writing eventually waned, but language had already been enriched, spawned from literal views of cryptographs. Reading between the lines came to suggest the finding of inferences in any document.
The secret to a successful marriage.
Ah, not necessary to a successful bridge.
No, you don't want to be reading between the lines on a bridge.
That's what I would suspect. The earthquake we had last month.
Yep.
Yeah, as warped as you have now made me, I was thinking, who's inspecting the bridges? How's that for weird, huh?
I guess I've just infiltrated your brain a little bit too much, but we were. Anything over a 5, we head out and start inspecting the bridges, especially near the epicenter. And then the local fire departments, a lot of times, even the volunteers, they'll go out and they'll give us a holler if they see anything. But we have a bridge crew that's all, you know, their job is bridges. And one of their duties is right after an earthquake to go out and start inspecting.
Did they find anything?
Nope. This was actually pretty mild for the county. Eel River Valley got hit, but that's where my house is, of course.
So yeah, they rocked and rolled a little bit.
Yeah, tore my well apart and lost my internet. And good thing I have clasps on all of my cabinets, because when I opened them, things fell on me.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so you never unchildproofed?
I adult-proofed. We had children, we had to adult-proof.
Yeah. So you got a little bit of action there.
Oh, yeah.
But the bridges were all okay?
Everything was okay. No real damage. Fortuna Vets had some cosmetic damage inside, and you probably saw the pictures of downtown Ferndale and Fortuna had some broken windows and stuff. But
bottles.
All in all, just a very good reminder. We live in earthquake country. The big one's going to hit sooner or later, and be prepared.
Well, as weird as it sounds, I don't mind those that we had because it relieves the pressure.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, push it on another 10 years. You know, a couple more of those, and I'm not really going to care a heck of a lot.
No, we had another one last night, 4.6.
Yeah, yeah. Are those the aftershocks that we wait for, or are these independent?
I'm pretty sure that was an aftershock, but it was just another gentle reminder of,
yeah, don't fall asleep.
Get ready to duck under that table.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the roads themselves are a little bit different because you've got some that are on solid base.
Yep.
And you've got others that are on
jello.
Okay, I wasn't thinking the blue goo. I was thinking more of old Indian trails and deer
old,
trails.
Old
and
wagon
things like
trails,
that.
Yep.
Was there any difference between those?
Not with this one. Usually, you know, the major earthquake damage will be big sections of earth sliding, so on the hillsides, et cetera. And so we didn't really have any damage from this on the road system.
Did Shelter Cove experience
anything? They felt it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were kind of out on a little shelf there.
We had no road damage out there from the earthquake.
Really? No. So the new construction out there held up like a charm, huh?
Exactly.
Whoa.
Guaranteed until the next earthquake.
Yeah. From moment to moment. Now, we've also had a little bit of white all over the place as well.
Oh, just a little bit.
Yeah. Now, I know you. It's a totally different kind of experience. But did that cause any problems, any uplifting of or popping with the freezing?
No. the main issue right now is still Willow Creek. While we had snow all over, Willow Creek really got slammed. Up on top of Titlow Hill, we had, I'm not a snow person myself to measure, but we had about 5 feet on the roads. It was an all-hands.
Yeah, just saying that is kind of impressive enough, huh?
Yeah.
In fact, it
overwhelmed our crews, and Titlow Hill Road, which leads up to Horse Mountain where everybody goes to play in the snow, that's, you know, that had 5 feet of snow on it. And we actually, Caltrans actually came in with a snow blower and their grader and were able to open it up for us because it was just simply too much snow for our equipment.
Just too much. Bald Hills kind of the same way?
Bald Hills, we had to put our dozers out. Couldn't get through with the trucks or the grader, had to put our dozers out. But the Yurok tribe also plows up there, and they plowed the back half. So
kind of
like building a railroad. You meet in the middle.
Yeah,
great for all the help we got.
Oh, you rounded up, and I rounded down. Whoops. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Mattson. Tom, the winter weather, the traditional one that we have is wet.
Yep.
Okay. So now you've had one extremity. You've had one anomaly. Still kind of waiting for the heavy stuff to come down. But, again, little reminders. You know, Elk River was a little damp.
King Salmon
was a little damp.
Arcata Bottoms.
Yeah, all the normal places, so to speak.
Yep.
Everything perform okay?
Yep, pretty much. No real issues. The water came up and the water went down in the areas that we generally see it. So just, we're just starting winter. about 8 times out of 10, when the county declares a disaster in December, we have another one in March. So just be ready for March this year.
Same weather?
Usually it's floods.
Yeah.
I know. This year it was the snow, and I need to go back on
64 had
both. There was snow.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was kind of that situation going in, but we didn't have the intense rain on top of the snow to melt it. We did have the rivers come up quite a bit with the snow melt, though, even with just the little rain we had.
Get to warning stage?
No,
or
we
just
got the warning
just kind of
stage,
up and
but, you know, I
blowing out the alder stage.
Bank to bank.
Yeah, okay.
Running full.
Well, that's
good.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. I mean, in a very warped way, blowing the gunk out to me is part of the normal natural cycle. It's not supposed to be alders growing in the middle of the river or the creek.
It moves the gravel down, opens the fish holes back up over time. Long as you don't get a lot of stuff coming down to fill in and you just got the water moving things out, it's all good.
So as you are anticipating now the next couple of months with this trend, not necessarily a likelihood, but a trend, you anticipating moving materials in certain places or having your resources ready, or you just kind of pay attention and see what the forecast
just
brings? And
pay attention, keep an eye on the forecast, and be prepared, because it does happen in Humboldt County on a regular basis that we get major flooding.
Is there any of the repairs that you've talked about over the last couple of years that have either been deferred or perhaps not completed that you're a little about?
Well, we've got a number of projects right now in winter suspension, and that's always scary. That means you opened up the project and didn't finish it before the rains came, and now you got to baby it through the winter, but those are all contract jobs. So I worry a little bit about those, but realistically, you know, with the roads never really being engineered the way they should have been engineered, just basically taking the wagon trails and making them into roads, there's a lot of terrain. You know, the road has to go to point A and B. It can't skip point anything in between, and there's a lot in between A and B that can move
right
all over the county.
Well, the culverts and some of those types of things that have been talked about in the past, I suspect that you probably have your troops out there using your periscope or, you know, whatever the equivalent thereof is, and make sure that things are as cleared out as they can be prior to, let's say, March 1st.
Yep, and then, you know, for about 10 years or so, we've been putting in fish-friendly culverts, which are much larger, and they have much more flow capacity. In areas that we used to have problems with the water backing up or going over the road, no problems anymore, because the culverts are so huge.
Just simple diameter?
You know, we're going from a 4-foot culvert to a 16-foot arch culvert. Gets a
lot
of
capacity.
Wait,
whoa. You went from a 4 to a 16?
Well, you have to look at...
simple math. Is that four times
four
capacity?
It's more than four times the capacity.
Wow.
But now it's calculated for the 100-year flow with debris, whereas before the culverts were just basically, hey... Here's a pipe, and we think this one will work in the 40s and 50s. Now we have to calculate the flow, look at everything, look at how much debris might come down with the flow. And
how do you guesstimate debris? I mean, does that redwood fall down or not?
You pretty much have to assume that you're going to have logs and rocks and things coming down.
Logs. Are we talking logs like 64 logs?
We don't have a lot of the 64 type logs left.
Yeah.
But
the stuff they're milling today. You know.
A little bit of timber that makes one little block can start building stuff on it and creating a dam before you know it.
That's the amazing thing that I still have a tough time comprehending, because I was, three with the 64 flood? No, I guess I was four. Is the backup.
Yeah.
Hearing the stories about the trees and the trees and the trees, and it wasn't the water that knocked it out. The bridge. It was all this backup and the pressure, and then it just finally got to that point and it knocked it out.
Yep, it's amazing amount of mass that can build up in a stream with all the material that comes down in it.
Yeah, so these big boys are big enough to handle?
Well, they're...
So far?
So far, not a one of them has failed.
How many more do you want to put in?
Oh...
Ideally.
Ideally, there's probably at least 50 more that need to go in just on the county roads. State highways also needs them. There's some cities that have been enlarging their culverts for fish passage, and it's created a lot more benefits than just fish passage.
So if you have 50 of them, you have to tear up the road and do the overlay the whole nine yards?
Oh, yeah.
Would you get 5 of them a year or 10 of them a year?
It really depends upon funding. They are very, very expensive, but there are special funds, grant funds set aside that we compete for. Coastal Conservancy, there's Fish and Wildlife, all different kinds of funds that we go for to make these improvements. And when we started, we hired a consultant who went out and prioritized all of them based on habitat. So we're just trying to bang down the list.
So this isn't STIP money.
No.
Or gas tax revenues. This is different category.
Virtually all of the money is outside grant money, unless we're doing, you know, we have a culvert that we know we need to replace and it's on a fish-bearing stream, then that would we would have to fund that out of our existing fund sources.
If it blows out, does FEMA?
It depends.
Can you use those dollars for this? It's kind of crossing the line.
If it's a declared disaster. But yes, we were able to do this out on Bryceland Road a couple of years ago where the culvert blew out, but we already had plans for a fish culvert at that location. And because that was actually a permitting requirement when we replaced the culvert, I don't know if it was, I think Federal Highways, yes, they because it was a permitting requirement, they did pay for it.
Oh, so it was a requirement rather than something you just wanted to upgrade.
Exactly.
Oh. Well, I guess every once in a while those
benefits.
Those laws come and fall in your favor then.
Yep.
Instead of in opposition with this stuff. It just amazing. Four times the size or five or six times the volume.
Well, it goes back to the fact that a lot of these culverts were put in right after 1964 flood when everything blew out and the roads had to be reopened and people made their best call as what size to put in there.
Best you can with current knowledge.
Exactly.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Public Works Director Tom Metz. And floods are kind of their routine, but we haven't had too many of them lately.
Not too many.
Certainly of significance, I guess, is the way to say it.
You know, there's been certainly storm damage events without the major flooding. 2017 and 2019, we both years hit our road systems hard with the rainfall, but not with just flooding. You know, when we look at, you know, what is the flood? Well, when Ferndale starts going under and the whole Ferndale bottoms start going under from the Eel River, that's a real flood. If it's just at the top of banks, that's moving a lot of water, but it's a good thing. But once it crests those banks and starts getting out into the fields and then starts affecting people's property, their houses, their lives, that's when it gets scary.
With erosion, I mean, that's something that I know that a lot of governmentals try to say don't allow it to happen. It does. Obviously, it does. When that starts to occur, how problematic is it? I mean, obviously, there's more, are you ready? Turbidity in the water. That's the one thing I remember from Art Bowley when Art was running the water system around here. Just more stuff in the water. Yep. Okay, now things can really start getting squirrely very quickly. Can you mitigate for that stuff, or do you just, when it gets to that level, you know you're going to have a ton of work?
You mitigate it through pre-planning and projects beforehand, but you're never going to get everything. There's areas that are just going to erode, the areas on the coast where the ocean is constantly beating against the bottom of the roadbed, you just have to deal with on a case by case basis, and you know really you have to look at it and is there something you can do before the event happens? Can you try to stabilize the slope? Can you, can you seed it? Can you get things to grow in it?
Yeah, but if all the grass is blown out with the flood,
yeah,
nice try. I mean, is it design?
Some of it's design. A lot of it is just the topography and the geography of the land we live in.
You now know that this is a loaded question. If Salt River or the Old River in Ferndale were flowing the way that they had been historically, if they were open, Would that help to keep any potential risk for Ferndale?
Oh, definitely.
Down?
The Salt River Project, as it is, has drastically reduced some of our chronic flooding areas that we used to have, especially by the Ferndale Wastewater Treatment Plant. But where the project stops, the flooding problems continue. So that is still a work in progress. And from my opinion, what I've seen from what it's done so far, it's drastically improved the lower portion.
Now, is that state oversight, or is that county and then that's, funding?
That's the actually the RCD, the Resource Conservation District. We've helped a lot. It's locally driven, but a lot of the funds we were able to leverage from the federal government and state government.
Just for fish flow and things of that nature?
Well, mainly it's flood.
Oh, it's just helping to make it through floods.
The number one priority on that Salt River project is flood control. And it's definitely has a lot more capacity for flow now than it did before the project started.
Taking back to what it had been or what it could be, how much more does that alleviate? Significant, or is it now 10% kind of thing?
Pretty significant to the valley.
So it really would help to
It would definitely help to keep it moving back to all the way through the valley.
Now, I know Fernbridge is not your responsibility, right?
Thank you. The county built it and gave it to the state.
In a moment of lucidity, huh? As contrasted to Samoa Boulevard.
Yep.
Sorry. Wait. Something like that, an older structure. How do they look to see if there's erosion going on down underneath where the footings are? Or Scotia Bridge, if you want to look at that one.
If you inspect them when the water is low so you can see the footings. And they also have underwater dive teams for a lot of the bridges that if it's, the pier is underwater, they'll send a dive team down on a regular basis to inspect it to see what's going on with the footing.
So they have cameras and lights and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they're checked on a regular, all of our bridges are checked, I think, every other year by the state.
Is that like elevators? They need to be certified every year, or safety checked, or whatever.
Pretty
the term
much,
is?
Yeah. There's only one county that does its own real inspections, and that's LA County. And well, they're big; they have the resources to do it. But all the rest of us, Caltrans does our bridge inspections for us. They have specialists that are assigned their section of the state, and so they become real familiar with our bridges and what needs to be looked at.
Now we have got seasonal bridges. Okay, or whatever you want to. I have a tough time calling those things bridges.
Hey,
let's say crossings.
It's a structure that goes over a water course, therefore it is a bridge.
Okay, technical definition.
It's over
there.
20 feet long.
All right. Some of those.
Yes.
Now, when there are floods and things of that nature, you have to rebuild the ends anyway, right, seasonally? Do you do more? Is that an opportunity if there's a flood that comes through and things are really kind of not there? Is there a chance then to upgrade that for the future, or do you just kind of replace it as a seasonal bridge? Thank you very much, and we don't worry about the period of time when the bridge isn't there.
Well, we have two left at Holmes and McCann. They both have different permits. Holmes has to come out every year, no matter what, basically in the beginning of October, and it doesn't get put back in until June. McCann, we're able to put back in based on river flows. But they're totally different stretches of the river. They're completely different scenarios. So the Holmes Larrabee, it's doubtful any time during the winter we would be able to put it back in. McCann is a much different story because a big portion of the bridge is, it's got a wider channel. It drops a lot quicker, and we can get the bridge in and out.
So the gradient is just
the gradient's better.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with four airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Matson. So, Tom, we've got some of these larger bridge structures also. Caltrans, you know, around Confusion Hill.
Yep.
I mean, that's something that's so different. Over the Trinity at Willow Creek.
Yep.
Those things are so different. Are they treated the same? Or because the structure is so different that they really are kind of a class unto themselves?
Well, it depends. You know, every bridge is different, but they're all bridges, big or small. They all have different ways to inspect them, whether they're made of steel, whether they're made of concrete, whether so every bridge is unique in itself in what you have to inspect, because not only are all the bridges different, where they're at in the geography, the topography, the hydrology is all different at every different bridge. So that's why it's really good to have a steady long-term inspector on your bridges, because they learn, you know, you can get a new guy out there, they may know their calculations, but they don't know the specifics of that bridge, while the old grizzled veteran will be able to say, this is what happens to this bridge every year, this is where the water is trying to eat out, this is where it's eroding, this is where it's piling up debris. They know what to look for when they get there.
Kind of like when the Mad River mouth was doing that severe migrating. If you have history, you kind of know where it's headed. Yeah, and if you don't,
you know where it's headed and what it's going to hit, and if there's something there that's going to kick it back.
Yeah, no, lower, less surprises.
Yes.
The county's got a lot of rural roads in the eastern part of the county.
Oh, yeah.
With the snows, with the rains, with some of these challenges that are out there, how are they faring?
Well, let's just say our rural roads are about the same as most rural county roads. They're not in great shape. They're beautiful.
So with some of the extra dollars that have come in the last year or so, it hasn't necessarily taken a big bite out of those challenges.
No, those are the roads that we get, you know, a lot of our storm damage on. Matole Road, Alder Point Road, Bryceland Thorn Road, Shelter Cove Road. They're in areas where the terrain is just not real hospitable to roads the way they are. And so they do receive a beating every single year.
Bell Springs is one that you didn't mention.
Yeah.
When you say on an annual basis, that road always seems to make the headlines because of the detour when there's a slip out, slide out on 101.
Exactly.
Please take the Bell Springs. And I know that the neighbors aren't necessarily excited about that. Well, but has there been a thought to try to stabilize that and put an inordinate amount of money there, because it is pretty much the only alternative that there is for anybody going north-south if 101 isn't accessible?
Not overly. I mean, I've talked with Mendocino about it a few times about cooperative projects, but unfortunately, most of those rural routes, there was a separate funding source set up for them for many, many years. They were specifically called federal aid secondary routes because they connect one state highway to another and provide a detour. In all the wiseness of the federal government, they, of course, killed that program.
So they were put in and there's zero maintenance, basically, is what
you're
saying.
Well, we do
what the county's
doing. Yeah, we do the maintenance, but there used to be a capital fund specifically for those roads that you could apply to, and the money was only to go to federal aid secondary roads. And so it took away a resource we had for improvements to those roads.
Particularly hitting rural areas that need to have those.
Exactly.
So the fact that Mendocino is part of the game and Humboldt is part of the game, does that make it easier to develop funds because there's two different sources, or more difficult because it's not just your project or just their project?
It's much more competitive the more partners you have.
Oh.
And so,
so you put a detour into Trinity County, that could kind of help the cause?
Exactly.
Oh. And that'd be a really big roundabout, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But Bell Spring Roads has a lot of challenges. It is not built for highway traffic.
No, it really wasn't much of a stagecoach road from what I've been able to read either.
No, they used it after the 64 flood, and they ran convoys over it back and forth. But as to it carrying highway traffic, no. It is just, and the amount of money that would need to be spent in that to do that is huge.
Kind of like a bypass?
Yep.
Is that like a nasty word? It's a six-letter word. I guess it means it's 50% more than a four-letter word, right?
Well, if you look at how important redundancy and resiliency is, it's hugely important, because when 101 goes down, we're shut down. It affects the Humboldt County economy drastically on an everyday basis.
Now, we saw that a little bit with 36 and 299 going down. Certainly some of the activity at the slide up north also.
Yep.
A last chance. Is there any recognition, any sympathies, any additional fundings for small rural areas like us that could be isolated on a regular basis?
There's always a lot of sympathy and a lot of I feel for you and a lot of empty wallets.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of dial tones when you call, huh?
Yeah. Leave a message at the beep.
Yeah.
This voicemail is full.
Yeah. No beep. Oh, jeez. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. See everybody tomorrow.